More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Tyke. Memorial Day weekend is here, and the gardeners among us are casting an anxious look to the sky, or at least the weather forecast, in the hopes it will be a good weekend to get gardens going and yard work done. Melinda Myers is our regular gardening contributor, and she joins Lake Effect's Joy Powers to talk about what you might want to take on during one of the busiest and maybe most important gardening weekends of the year.
This year, things are a little delayed, so maybe this is the weekend you have the barbecues and the parties and maybe give your tomatoes another week before you put them in the ground. There are some plants that can take it cool. Cabbages, broccoli, those things like the cooler soil and air. Radishes, beets, lettuce, those are great. If you already have them in the garden, you know they're producing, you're probably harvesting. If you're going to plant tomatoes, peppers, eggplants, those kind of things, they like warm air, warm soil, give them a little protection. So here's what I like to do. Even if I'm planting and we've had decent weather, I'll kind of give a little extra protection to speed up the harvest. There's a product called Floating Row Covers, sold as Remay, Harvest Guard, Frost Blanket. And you plant your plants, you cover them with this. It keeps bugs off, so it's great for cabbage worms. You do have to remove it eventually when plants need to be pollinated, those things that need pollination or get too big. But it lets air, light, and water through. So I can plant my tomatoes, I can plant my cabbage, I can cover them, anchor it with boards or those landscape little pins that look like wickets, and it traps the heat. So if we have cold nights like we've been having in the 40s, it won't kill your plants, but boy, you can see all the tomatoes that have been sitting out in the cold. They have white blotches and brown spots. It stresses the plants and delays your harvest. So a little extra protection. Some people are going, oh, but I want to put my tomato tower on when I plant. Good idea. Then wrap it in plastic or even this floating row cover and trap some of that heat by the plants. I use it on cabbage, even though cabbage tolerates cool temperatures, but those moths that fly around lay their eggs on the cabbage and broccoli, and those eggs turn in those worms that protein we don't want. But if I cover them when I plant, put some radishes in between, so they'll be done in like 25 days by the time the cabbage needs that space. That's called interplanting. But if I cover that whole planting, I don't get root maggots in my radishes, and I don't have the cabbage worms, and I don't have to use a chemical. And so it makes it easy. And the other benefit is it keeps the rabbits off, too. We did a Melinda's Garden moment on using the row covers for cabbage worm, and we did it at Dawn, who works with me at her garden. And she sent me a picture the next morning, and here are the rabbits sitting on the row cover, longingly looking at the cabbage underneath. Yay! So provided rabbit protection as well.
Nice. I think I was a little bit rushing to get
Everybody
stuff in my
does.
Garden.
Okay.
Last weekend, it was a little sunny. I was like, you know what? I'm going to start planting herbs.
Okay.
Not a great idea, because then we had so much water. It's been very cold, and the herbs don't seem to love that.
Especially basil is very sensitive. Some of the perennials, like oregano and things like that, can take it a little chillier. Chives is tough. It's hard to kill those. But you're right. And that's where that floating row cover is great for basil. Also, Japanese beetles love basil. And so if you cover them, they don't need bees, right? Because you're just harvesting the leaves. You don't need the bees, so you can leave it covered. It's not as pretty as having a bed of basil, but it's not as ugly as Japanese beetles eating your basil. And so that's a way to protect them, or at least initially during these cooler temperatures. The other thing is, get to know your garden center provider, because if you're buying plants in the greenhouse, and so many of them are keeping them in the greenhouse because it's so cold, and they may not be hardened off. And hardening off is when we gradually introduce our plants to the outdoor environment. So if they've been in a greenhouse or under lights in your house, you know, the first day you put them out maybe in an hour of direct sun, the next day maybe 2 hours, then 3 hours, gradually increasing the amount of light. You're going to let the soil go slightly drier. You're still going to water probably more often because it's outside, except we've had all this rain. And then you're not going to fertilize till you get the plants in the ground. By doing that, you're toughening up the plants. You know, I always say it's like when we go to Florida in January, we've been inside, gray days, we go stand out on the beach, lay on the beach, and we just fry our bodies and get sunburned. The same can happen to our plants. They'll often recover, but you set them back. And so this just, that extra effort really helps It helps make the transplanting a success and your garden a bigger success as well.
Well, even before we start to transplant, you know, a lot of us probably will be trying to spend this weekend hardening off the plants.
Can
a
we do
bit.
It in 2 days?
Can we
yes.
do it a little bit? What should we be doing with our soil?
Good point, because that's really the foundation of a healthy garden. One is wait until it's moist but not soggy wet. And that's going to be the tough thing. If you have heavy clay soil with all the rain we're having, patience is going to be something you're going to need. So take a handful of soil, gently squeeze, make it into a ball. If you flick it with your finger and it breaks into pieces, it's moist and you can work it. If it stays in a mud ball, it's too wet. And if you don't heed my advice, you're going to be dealing with clods and cracked soil all summer long. And I know how hard that is. I ran a community garden program for years, and we had lots of clay soil. And I know the gardeners would get frustrated. They wanted to get out there, and you're not plowing, and soil's too wet. And if we pushed it, we'd end up with clods they had to deal with. The soil would crack when it would get hot and dry. The plants would struggle. So if you can give that soil time to dry. If you have sandy soil, that's what I garden in now, things dry out fairly quickly. Still make sure it's not too wet or too dry, but it's a little more forgiving. But on the other hand, I need to add organic matter to hold moisture so during the droughts I don't water as often, and also fertilize a little more often because that clay soil is more nutritious than sandy soil. So there's a benefit for those of you struggling with clay soil. And I forgot to mention fertilizing. A soil test is always a good place to start. I know most people kind of skip that stage. But generally, a low nitrogen, slow release fertilizer. I use Milorganite, but low nitrogen, slow release. So you get slow, steady growth, less susceptible to insect and disease problems, and you'll still get flowers and fruit. And our soils tend to be high in phosphorus, good for rooting and fruiting and flowering, and high in potassium, good for disease resistance and hardiness.
I will say a lot of our soil on one side of our house was very clayey, but it did have a lot of worms in it, so we knew it had to be healthy.
That's right. And then adding organic matter before you garden, or using organic mulch, shredded leaves, grass clippings not treated with weed killers, evergreen needles. If you put that on the soil surface after planting, it conserves moisture. You water less often. It also helps suppress weeds, so you'll be weeding less. And the other benefit, as it breaks down, it improves the soil. So those worms are going to be happy. And these are the good earthworms. No worms are native here, but the earthworms aren't harmful in your garden like the jumping worms, which are the bad guys.
And that was one of the questions I had. As I was digging around in our soil, you know, I'm seeing a lot of earthworms. I'm seeing a lot of those, I think they're millipedes.
Oh, yes.
Guys with a lot of little legs.
Yes.
And those seem to be okay.
Exactly. They eat organic matter. They're annoying when they come in your house. Right? None of us want them in there, but they do feed on organic matter. So if you're finding them in your house, you know, making sure you caulk any cracks and crevices, make sure if you've stored vegetables in the basement, there's no debris down there, because that's what they're looking for. They like cool, dark, damp, and vegetation. So really, they're not harmful to your plants. They're just more of an annoyance.
What is going to be harmful for your plants as you're digging through your soil? If you see, you know, maggots, is that?
You know, grubs, there are some grubs that are harmful. Japanese beetles grubs are usually in grassy areas, but there are some other grubs. But there's some good guys and bad guys. Army worms can be harmful. Cutworms are probably the one, if you're just starting a new garden that was in grass, cutworms are one of the big problems. They're insects or worms that feed on, like, the transplant, and they'll eat it about an inch high, and they just cut it, snip it off. You'll have the top of the plant laying on the ground. It looks like the neighborhood kids took scissors to your plants. The good news is just take, like, a tuna fish can or cottage cheese container, take the bottom out, top off, slide it over the transplant, so buried about an inch deep and an inch above, and that's enough to keep them from getting to the plant. So if you notice that damage, check that out. If you know it's a new garden, you might want to do it, or if you've had problems in the past, just do it proactively. Some people even take like a paper towel roll, cut it into sections, because it eventually degrades by the time the plants are tough. Animals, there's rabbit population seems to be good again this year. So, you know, fencing is your best defense, you know, tight to the ground or buried an inch or two in the ground and at least 4 feet tall. And then make sure your gate's secure. That's usually where they get in, under the gate, but, you know, where the gate latches to the fence. You think it's you know, tight enough, but those rabbits can sneak in. Then they're inside, lots of food and protected from predators. So they're having a good time and frustrating you.
So, you know, whether it's your own seedlings or something that you're buying from a garden center, what are the things, once we actually get things into the soil, what should we be doing for those new transplants?
With that transplant, you want to keep the root area moist but not soggy wet. So check it every couple of days. With a cooler temperature, the soil dries more slowly. But just stick your finger down kind of near the plant. And as it feels like a damp sponge that's been wrung out, time to water again. Then gradually cut back. Then instead of every other day, every third, every fifth, eventually a good soaking once a week. Most plants need about an inch of water a week. We get a half inch of rain, you water a half an inch. If it's cool, you probably don't have to do it every week. If it's 95 degrees, you're going to want to soak it more often. And if you mulch it, that's going to extend the time between watering. So don't be afraid to touch the soil. And then as you garden more, you get to look at those leaves and they get this funky kind of gray-green look before they get wilted. And you know, it's time to water. Water at the soil line, though, soaker hoses are great, drip irrigation or a watering wand, so you water the soil surface. You want to keep the leaves dry because wet leaves, especially at night, mean more disease problems. If you do have to use a sprinkler overhead, try to water early in the day. You'll lose less to evaporation, and then the leaves dry off quickly, so you have a less risk of a disease.
So hopefully with all of that advice, by the time we get to maybe a few weeks in the future, we'll be looking at some very nice gardens.
You bet. And then, you know, by having those radishes, you'll be harvesting while you're waiting for that first red ripe tomato.
Well, Melinda Myers, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your expertise.
Well, thank you, and good luck to everyone gardening this weekend.
Melinda Myers is the author of numerous books on gardening, including Month by Month Gardening in Wisconsin and the Midwest Gardener's Handbook. She's also our regular gardening contributor, and she talked with Joy Powers.